I'm Anjali Dodian. It's a great pleasure to be at the University of Idaho today speaking to members of the Pacifica Quartet, Mark Holloway, who plays viola, and Brandon Vamos, who plays cello. Hello.
Hi, nice to be here.
Great to be here.
The Pacifica Quartet is performing tonight as a part of the Auditorium Chamber Music Series here at the University of Idaho. Now, the Pacifica Quartet, you've been together, or rather the quartet was founded in 1994, 26 years ago. And since then, you've won numerous awards, many of them chamber music's top competitions. And you are currently quartet in residence at Indiana University.
That's right.
Previously at the Metropolitan Museum of Art, right? So one of the things that you're known for is your acclaimed performances of string quartet cycles. That is, you'll play all of, say, Elliot Carter or Beethoven or Mendelssohn's string quartets, or more recently Shostakovich. And you'll play a Shostakovich and a Beethoven quartet tonight. And it often takes a few days to play all of those, correct? How do you approach preparing for these marathon concerts and interpreting that music? I imagine it's very different from a program like tonight that's a mix of different composers and styles.
Well, I guess it depends on how long the cycle is going to be. I mean, we've done cycles of Beethoven in 3 days. We've done them over 2 years. And so that definitely changes how you prepare. But if they're in a very short amount of time, it's very intense because that's a lot of music to have under your fingers. It's a lot of music to discuss. So the preparation is months in advance, you know, many months in advance. But what we love about the cycle is that you get to delve into composers' development from their early works to their middle to their late works and to really get inside of their language. And I think it's great for the audience, too. It takes them on a journey. I always find that they get very excited about the cycle as they're involved before it starts, and as we often talk about the music and the composers' lives, and it's just sort of becomes more than just, you know, performance. It becomes an event, something that people will remember for a long time.
Do you have a composer who you have your eye on for a future song cycle or a string quartet cycle? I mean.
That's a very good question. Of course, you know, we're always looking for cycles, but at the same time, we want to make sure that it's music that we really believe in, and that you can see a composer's development over the course of his or her career. So just to play a cycle of pieces isn't quite enough. You have to make sure that there's, you know, a story to tell behind it, of course. In the case of Carter, there's, you know, decades-long development over the course of his career. You know, Mendelssohn's life was much shorter, and the last quartet was just written in a fury after the, you know, sudden death of his sister, who was very dear to him. Composers today and other composers from the past, yeah, I mean, we're always on the lookout. We haven't quite decided yet. Is that right, Brandon?
Yeah, we're not there yet, but we're always thinking.
Yeah, we have a couple ideas, but we can't share them right now because it's too early.
Oh, absolutely. It's just something to look forward to in the future, right? Okay, you are playing a Beethoven string quartet tonight, including the final movement that Beethoven originally wanted for this quartet. That's the Opus 130 and the Grossfugue. Tell us a bit more about why you chose to include the Grossfugue instead of the published final quartet.
Right. It's just what you said, that, you know, Beethoven wrote the Grossfugue as the last movement of his Opus 130. And the publishers said, oh, well, this is just, you know, we can't sell this. No one's going to play it. It's too modern. It's terrible. Please replace it with something else. And sort of shockingly, Beethoven did. And he wrote a finale for it, which is, it's great music. It's great Beethoven. It's wonderful. But compared to the Grosse Fuge, I mean, the Grosse Fuge is one of the greatest things ever written, you know, one of the towering achievements of sort of humanity, you know. So to not include that seems kind of like a shame, even though the replacement is also, you know, wonderful music. But this is one of the highest points of the art of mankind. So it's, as a player, you often have a distance while you're playing, you know, emotionally from the music you're playing, because you have to, you know, you're doing a job in a sense, and you want to make sure that you know, you're like an athlete. You have to make sure that you're on track, you know, playing as you should. With the Grosse Fuge, I lose a little of that distance. That's how great it is. At the end, I get the goosebumps, you know, very often when it feels like I've just finished a marathon or something. It's totally thrilling.
I think what I prefer about playing 130 with the Grosse Fuge is the last movement before, the second to last movement is the Cavatina, which is one of the most beautiful movements. Beethoven's, he considers it one of his most moving movements he ever wrote in all of his music. And to go from that, and then the contrast that you get to go into the Grosse Fuge is, it's really an incredible moment. You know, I think Beethoven's full of contrast, and that's what makes Beethoven so unique, is that he can go from the most sublime to the most, you know, wild music in a blink of an eye. So that's one of the reasons that we like to end the piece with the Grosse Fuge.
Now, when I see Beethoven programmed on a concert in this calendar year 2020, my mind automatically goes to the Beethoven 250th anniversary we're celebrating this year. Could that be one of the reasons that you programmed Beethoven for your concert tonight?
Sure, it's one of them. I mean, Beethoven is always part of our repertoire because it's such great, great music, and the public loves it, and presenters love it, and authors love to write about it, and painters are inspired by it, and so that's never going to change, of course. And of course, this is a great opportunity to celebrate. So actually, we're going to be playing the cycle of all the quartets, all 16, over this season and next. Well, of course, yeah, I mean, it just, there's so many opportunities to program it, you know, for a certain character or a certain length or a certain mood you're going for, or something to contrast another piece on the program. There's a lot to draw from.
So today you're going to play the third movement from that string quartet, Alla Danza Tedesca. Tell us a little bit about that. What are we going to hear?
Oh, it's almost like a German folk song. A Lendler, and it's got a very sort of lilting quality to it. It's a beautiful movement. There's a moment at the end where everything gets sort of jumbled out of order, and it's kind of unique. It's a great short. It's one of the shorter movements of the piece.
It has also a lot of sort of Beethovenian touches to it. You know, swells where you don't expect them, pauses where you don't expect them, sudden dynamics where you were just getting used to a higher level, and then all of a sudden it drops down to something softer. Not in an angry way or a shocking way necessarily, but kind of a gentle humor, you know, humorous way, which is only Beethoven.
Thank you.
That's Simon Ganatra, first violin, Austin Hartman, second violin, Mark Holloway, viola, and Brandon Vamos on cello. The Pacifica Quartet with the third movement, Alla Danza Tedesca, from Beethoven's Opus 130 String Quartet. I'm here speaking with Mark Holloway and Brandon Vamos of the Pacifica Quartet. The Pacifica Quartet will play that complete Beethoven quartet and more as part of their concert tonight, part of the Auditorium Chamber Music Series. As an ensemble, you're also really interested in contemporary music. And you have a really remarkable work on the program tonight by the Israeli-born composer Sumlit Ran. Tell us a little bit about Glitter Shards Doom Memory.
Well, we've been close friends with Shulamit Ran for almost over 20 years, and we've had this friendship, and we asked her about 8 or 9 years ago if she would be willing to write us a piece, and she said, well, what would you be interested in? At that time, we were doing things at the museum that we were sort of interested in, you know, visual arts and in music, and she was in Rome, and she discovered this Holocaust painter.
He died in Auschwitz. Felix Nussbaum was his name. And he died sort of, I think he was, younger than 50 years old when he died. And I think she was really interested in how can someone create when there's such darkness around you and when there's such a struggle and such cruelty, you know, how can someone make art and still have art that has a message and beauty and hope in it? And I think she was inspired by that. That's why, you know, Glitter Doom, it's that juxtaposition of sort of the everyday life, of the sweetness of everyday life that's shattered by hatred and war and things like this. And so she was inspired by his paintings and his writings. In fact, there's even a quotation in the piece for the third movement, which is says, if I must perish, do not let my paintings die. You know, and so she works her way through this kind of corrupting of the beauty of everyday life and the machinery of war. The second movement's called Menace, where you hear, you know, sort of the more military, more aggressive, more mechanical side of things. The third movement is that quotation that I said, and so that's kind of the struggle of creating art when there's such darkness. And the last movement is called Shards and Memory, which is what's left over, and how do we go on afterwards?
That was violist Mark Holloway with the Pacifica Quartet describing one of the works on their program tonight as a part of the Auditorium Chamber Music Series. It's Sumlit Ran's Glitter Shards Doom Memory. I'm Anjali, also speaking here with cellist Brandon Vamos of the quartet. So as a part of the Auditorium Chamber Music Series this week and through the weekend, you're participating in a number of activities, a masterclass this weekend, and yesterday you played for some very young people in a wonderful concert. So when you do an event like this, and you do all these outreach events, play for different age groups, what's one of your favorite parts of a trip like this? What's like a good memory that you're going to take home with you?
I was totally thrilled yesterday to play for these kids. They're so great. These were kids, I think, sort of around the ages of 3 to 7. And, you know, they don't have any inhibitions. They're sitting there, they're singing, they're clapping, they're dancing. There was this young girl in a tutu who sort of ballerined right across, you know, right in front of us as we're talking and playing, you know, without any care. She's just totally involved in the music, and that's such a joy, because as we get older, we tighten up, you know, we have all these inhibitions that children don't, and so it's really nice to be able to sort of have that direct connection with them, see them smiling, see them laughing, you know, asking them what they hear. Do they hear cartoons or animals or a color or a season? Someone had just had a baby, a 1-week-old baby, and brought the baby, and it was just, I was very, very touched.
I think the baby was changed by the performance, and we'll never forget it.
Well, thank you so much, Mark and Brandon, for speaking with us today. Enjoy the rest of your trip, and have a wonderful concert tonight.
Thank you so much. Thanks.
Mark Holloway, violist, and Brandon Vamos, cellist, with the Pacifica Quartet. I'm Anjali Dodia on Northwest Public Broadcasting, and here's one more excerpt from their concert program tonight, part of the Auditorium Chamber Music Series at the University of Idaho. The slow movement from the 7th String Quartet by Shostakovich. Mark and Brandon, joined by their fellow quartet members, Violin 1, Simon Ganatra, and Violin 2, Austin Hartman. Recorded live at their dress rehearsal in preparation for their concert tonight. That's part of the Auditorium Chamber Music Series. There you had the Pacifica Quartet, Simon Ganatra, Austin Hartman, Mark Holloway, and Brandon Vamos. Special thanks to the Auditorium Chamber Music Series at the University of Idaho. I'm Anjali Dodia. This is Northwest Public Broadcasting.